This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You buy into this narrative at all? Wilson says that if you choke a lead like that, then it's gonna be in your heads the next time the Pacers start storming back, kind of like the Celtics in games 1 and 2. Like, you got tired, it's like, here it goes.
It could be in your head, but you have to find a way to stop it. Like, you, and this team is good enough to do it. I don't think this team's mental makeup is of that. And you probably can figure it out pretty quick, like that type of thing. Like, rather than the result of the game, blaming it on a game that happened 2 days ago, 3 days ago, 6 days ago. Yo, are you walking with your head down? Are your shoulders slumped? How did you sound in the post game? Like, that's the type of stuff I look for. That's what you called out after the Kings Denver game. You said it the next day. I was like, nah, I think they're okay, because they had just gotten back to 500. And I had said that day, whatever happens today happens. But you've gotten back to sea level. You've got a week ahead of you. Just play good ball moving forward, and I think you're going to be fine. I hated the way it ended, the DeMar DeRozan fumble pass at the basket. You said the way that they left the court, it felt like this game hit different. Mike Brown never won another game as a Sacramento Kings head coach. And managed to survive one in which his team quit on their home floor against Tyrese Halliburton. That was tough.
Yeah.
We all heard the same thing that night. Waited. And then the Jay Nivey play happens. And that becomes five in a row.
It could go exactly how you talked about and how Jesse's talked about. Like, you look back on one game that comes to mind is the Pistons-Lakers 2004 series, where they won game one, the Pistons did. Then they had game two, and they blow that game, and Kobe wins. And I remember at that time thinking, like, man, if they lose the series, they're going to look back. They had an opportunity to put them away, and they didn't. And now they gave them a little life. It's a 1-1 series. And all the Pistons did was just say, we're better. And beat their breaks off them the next three games. The Knicks could look at it like, what we saw, what happened to us in game one is historic, and it sucks, but it's damn near a once in a lifetime thing. The way things played out, it's not indicative of who we are as a team. Because if we just continue to defend like we did yesterday, continue to stay within the offense because we can score whenever we want to, we can do what we need to do against this team. Just get back to basics. Don't trip off all the stuff that happened. Get back to basics, and you can get right back into the driver's seat for this series. So there's a level of mental toughness that's going to have to be there.
Mm-hmm. And I think they have it. Yeah, I think they have it from their coach down to their 12th player. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that they have it. I got to give you credit for something. That game last night, 2 days ago, I was really excited for both sets of conference finals. Mm-hmm. That game last night made me not give a crap about what's about to happen in 2.5 hours. I, in one fell swoop, lost all interest in the Western Conference Finals. Now, my interest was heightened on the Eastern Conference side because I like the Pacers. Mm-hmm. I like the Knicks team too, but I love the rivalry. Mm-hmm. You were right. Part of the reason for that is the Garden.
Mm.
And as we watch, like, you know, watching with Katie, watching her get excited because what's his name? Timothy Chalamet?
Chalamet?
It's not Chalamet.
No,
it's not Chalamet the God.
No, because I thought.
I think it's Timothy Chalamet. The actor. Y'all know who we're talking about. The Super Knicks fan.
You might be right, but I remember, I think on Dan Le Batard, they kept saying Chalamet. And I was like, this guy don't even know what he's talking about. He's talking about Charlemagne. It's called Charlemagne. Then I was like, no, this is the guy they're talking about. So yeah, maybe he was being funny.
Chalamet. I think he was being.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. Who's Timothy Charlemagne?
Well, it's not Char, it's Shala.
Oh, but Shala.
He was saying Shala, and I thought he was meant to say Charlemagne. I was like, I didn't see Charlemagne at the game. But no, it was the much, much more famous person.
Right. So then it's like, oh, look, there's Amari and Melo and J.R. Smith. Then there's the memes. J.R. Smith thinks he's at the Super Bowl. And then there's, where's Spike? There's Larry David. And it's like,
CeCe was Jada.
CeCe, yeah. It's like, hey, is that CeCe Sabathia right there? That is something that only the Garden can provide. And there is definitely, like Tyrese's shot, This exact scenario happens in Indiana in game three means far less from a memorable perspective.
Right.
He's at the Garden. He's reliving reenacting one of the most famous moments in NBA history. Admits he's on the podium saying, yeah, I was a little nervous. Like, I thought it was a three. I had broken out that set. Yeah, like, I was worried we were going to lose after doing that. Mm. He's also said, I'm not going to do it again. Like, that was a one. Like, if it happens again in game two, it's like, I'm not going to do that again. Mm. And that only happens at the Garden.
Mm.
It does not happen anywhere else. Mm. Same series, same two teams, move the location to Indiana. It's not the same. Mm-hmm. And so this New York brings a lot mm-hmm. to the series. I think there's a million basketball reasons why this series is really compelling.
Mm-hmm.
New York is just a nice little, for me, it's not like the main reason, but it's a nice little part of this story.
The Garden is different. The Garden is, what you talk about is almost just exclusive to the Garden. Like, there are other great atmospheres, but when you talk about the atmosphere combined with the star power of, like, not just in one area, they're all around the court. These megastars all around the court. They do a better job of that now than the Lakers games.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers games, since it's been different since Jack hadn't been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure if they were in the conference finals, you'd get a lot of the Hollywood stars there. But the Garden is different. I think
I'm sad that I just had to look to see if Jack was still with us.
He is, right?
He is.
Yeah.
He's 88.
He ain't been to a game since Kobe.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah.
But again, he's 88.
Yeah. But that's the only thing that rivals what you get from the Garden. And I don't even know if that can match up at this point in time, this particular season. It's different, man. It's a different vibe. Mm-hmm. I even think about OKC, and maybe I'm just sounding like a hater. I think OKC's – I'm not enamored with OKC's crowd and all that other stuff the way everybody is. It's loud. They got their little flag thing, whatever it is. They all wear the same shirts.
Now you just sound bitter.
I think something's really popping, I'll tell you, I think Minnesota's more popping than OKC. Oh, Minnesota's more movie status than OKC.
Why?
Indiana is too. There's just something about the energy. It seems
maybe you hate the Midwest because San Antonio, OKC.
What's Minnesota?
Dallas
considered?
Be popping though. I did say Dallas. Like Dallas crowd had a jumping.
So you don't
Houston
think OKC
does not?
No, they don't.
Houston trash. OKC is cool. It's loud. They got the little. Like I said, the little things that make noise, they're all wearing the same shirt. It's cool, but
So
it doesn't hit for me. It doesn't hit.
Do they have to be famous people there for it to?
No, because I don't know if there's a lot of famous people in Indiana, but that crowd looked like it's popping. Minnesota don't have a lot of famous people. They got A-Rod.
They got A-Rod now.
That's about it.
And I guess Charlotte. Maybe Charlotte will go.
That's about it. I think Sacramento does that. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think Sacramento has that type of energy jumping off the screen for playoff games. I don't think OKC is loud. Like I said, it's loud. They're wearing the same color shirts. All right. Doesn't seem like a vibe. It just seems loud. It does not seem like a vibe, like a madhouse. Like you look at some, it's a madhouse in Indiana. They're going crazy. Dallas, when Kyrie hit the little shot or whatever, it's a mad, like that just looked like a madhouse. OKC just seems like noise.
I don't know that you're wrong, but it does feel like a little hater. It does feel like a little haterism. Like a little hateration is bubbling.
I don't hate OKC. I don't like OKC, but I don't hate them.
All right. But the overarching point was...
I was right.
Yeah, the Garden absolutely has added something to the series.
Adam, go ahead, fix these games. Get them in the finals.
No. Careful what you wish for. Tyrese ain't going to the foul line the rest of the series.
They're not even going to call that foul that my mom called for. They're just going to let him hit him.
No. Dr. David asks, who does Kenny hate more, the Midwest or Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah, that's a rip because I don't hate either one of them. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're paying attention, didn't I say Indianapolis and Minnesota are lit?
I was going to say, that's what I said to Jesse. Isn't Minnesota in the Midwest? Indiana's definitely in the Midwest.
Detroit was popping. Detroit there was a vibe
in there. Detroit's always had a crowd.
There was a vibe in there when they in the playoffs.
Detroit has always had a crowd. Orlando doesn't.
Orlando wasn't vibing.
Yeah, Orlando doesn't.
Orlando wasn't popping. Miami, I give Miami a little more credit than most people do. It's cool.
You said Miami?
Yeah.
Nah, that's cap. Miami's trash. Yeah, Miami's trash.
I mean, they might, but
Miami's trash.
No. He's like you said, when it's popping, when they're good, that's fair weather.
No, I'm just saying this is look, New Orleans is that same way. New Orleans is quote unquote fair weather, but in meaningful games, like that, New Orleans be popping. That crowd be I know it sounds crazy to say because they don't show up much at all during the season, but when they're there, that's a popping crowd. That crowd is lit.
That Miami traffic's real, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah, you was there.
It took me 2 hours to go 5 miles.
I believe. Oh,
that's crazy.
It was disgusting.
You could have walked.
That is crazy. That's I know awful. Where it's not lit, the Chase Center.
It's definitely not lit at the Chase Center.
It was lit last night, though. You see that?
I did. The Valkyries.
Whatever.
I wasn't sure that was going to happen for a while. Valkyries. Why are you mad at the Valkyries?
You know, man. You know, man. I'm not. Look. I'm not.
I thought you changed
them.
Your stance.
I changed my stance, but that don't mean I'm happy. I ain't talking about go fouls.
You had a real bad night.
That's all my boy Deuce in there. Deuce was in the building. Oh, atmosphere in Chase Center is electric. I wouldn't be tweeting none of that.
Also, I'm having a hard time believing it was electric at the Chase Center yesterday. We'll come back, man. Matt George joins us. We'll talk Kings basketball. We'll talk basketball in general. Matt George celebrates his birthday tomorrow.
Hey.
We'll talk with Matt George next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 13.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
20. Welcome in. Oh, you have something real quick before we bring in Matt?
No, we're going to bring in Matt, but I just, you know, we've been talking about the playoffs, and with Matt here, you know, we'll still talk NBA, but, you know, we're going to talk some Kings talk. But TNT said last night's instant classic between the Pacers and the Knicks averaged 6.6 million viewers, the most watched Eastern Conference Finals game one since 2018. Viewership peaked at 8.5 million viewers at 11 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
So those are pretty good numbers. I think the NBA.
Yeah, that says the game was getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. That's
the
game.
The NBA hovers for the playoffs. Obviously, this is basketball, not NFL and all this other, because NFL goes crazy. But doesn't the a good, not great NBA game do like 4 million or something like that?
Yeah.
So that's 6.6 and peaked at 8.5.
Yeah. That's good stuff there. We welcome in Matt George, host of the Locked On Kings podcast, anchor over at ABC 10, and birthday boy tomorrow, air horns for our man Matt George. Yes, sir. We don't get to talk to you tomorrow, so we get to celebrate you today. So we'll start with this. Are you in your feelings after watching Tyrese Haliburton last night?
It's hard not to be. It's more just it's less at this point for me about Tyrese and more just about, God dang it, man. Like, I understand anybody who just feels like the Sacramento Kings are cursed. It's like, of course that shot goes 10 billion feet into the air, touches the top of the Empire State Building, then drops in, and everyone in Sacramento is like, yep, God dang it. Yep, that's Tyrese Haliburton making that shot. There's only one way that was going to go in. If that was Davion Mitchell, he would have made it from half court. It's just, it doesn't matter. Like, it's hard not to feel that way about everything that the Sacramento Kings do. There's always just that element of it's going to come back and needle you a little bit. Now, I was listening to the show earlier, and I agree to some extent with Kenny of like, man, can we just enjoy what the man is doing? Because I will say this, regardless of the circumstances, the very short time that I got the opportunity to cover Tyrese here in Sacramento, he was awesome. Now, we didn't get too much face-to-face interaction because that was right towards the end of kind of the COVID time, but Tyrese was extremely charismatic, extremely approachable, amazingly likable guy, plus his WWE ties and connections. He's now a playable character, by the way, in the WWE 2K video game. So if you feel frustrated about him hitting shots, you can, I guess, beat him up in a video game if that makes you feel better. But I enjoy the drama and the game from just the basketball standpoint, but not very few people can, I guess, handle things the way KC can handle it, where you can just enjoy it for what it is and move on from it. It's very difficult to not have those feelings and those ties, especially when they're very familiar with every single playoffs. It feels like there's some unknown king or former king that is doing big things. And it just so happens that two or three of them have been doing it these playoffs with Tyrese and Davion. So it stings. It sucks. It has nothing to do with the dude. But I think Sacramento collectively groaned when that shot went in.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I understand. You know, feeling some type of way watching Tyrese do what he's done in these playoffs. And you mentioned Davion. That was a crazy 3 days where, you know, we had to think about why did we let him go, you know, as well. So I get it.
Why we need a point guard. Right.
I get it. I don't know. I just feel like you drive yourself crazy always thinking about that stuff, and especially thinking about things that you – obviously, we can't do anything about it because we don't own the team, but there's nothing the Kings can do about it. Like, they're not going to be able to trade back for him. So, I don't know. I try to just focus on what they can control and see if they can get that right.
See, now you sound like a therapist, and it's boring, and I don't like it.
Well, talk to him about the New York Knicks, and he'll lose that calm quality quick.
Diehard Knicks fan.
That's the team he really loves right there.
Courtside with Chalamet.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
I still wouldn't know that guy if he walked in the studios right now.
I don't think I'm ready to be honest with you.
People he's the most famous actor.
People keep saying America. The movies that he's. I just don't watch enough movies. That's all it boils down to. I do not watch enough movies.
he's with Kylie Jenner, right?
He was at the game with Kylie Jenner.
Who's the guy with Kylie?
Yeah.
Kylie was the star.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the minority. Mm-hmm. I'm in the minority.
Matt, what do we know about Sacramento Kings draft workouts coming up? I know you were tweeting about that not too long ago.
we got a list of prospects, and that's about the extent of it, right? Like, these are guys that the Kings are going to do. They're going to do their homework. They're going to still handle the draft process like normal, whether they're looking at guys that they could potentially snag in the second round range, or I don't rule out the possibility at all of the Kings finding a guy that might be late lottery or fall out of the lottery that they feel that maybe they can contact the Brooklyn Nets, who have multiple firsts, or a team like the Orlando Magic, and maybe try and move into the first round to go out and grab a guy if he gets their attention. So, I mean, I think this is more the Kings doing due diligence than anything else. I mean, there aren't too many, unless you follow college basketball closely, which I, of course, do not. There's not going to be a lot of names that are on this list that are jump off the page guys that are names that a lot of people are going to recognize, because those guys are obviously lottery draft picks or lottery prospects that Sacramento does not have any involvement in, because they're pick went to Atlanta. So, I mean, don't come to Locked On Kings for a extensive breakdown of all of these prospects, because you're not really going to get much there. You're more just going to get the kind of blanket level, surface level of the Kings are trying to round out this roster and keep their options open. And draft night is we say every single year, like, draft night's a great night to be aggressive and make moves. And the Kings historically don't do a lot of moves on draft night. Maybe Scott Perry will be different, but I would not be surprised at all. And this is just all gut feeling. This is nothing sourced or anything like that. I would not be surprised at all if the Kings hover and are eager to try and work their way into the first round to some extent, just to get a younger prospect to start this new regime that you have for a good price tag under contractual control. And it's a roster spot that at least is confirmed and secured, while financially you're kind of on rocky surface right now.
Two of those guys I am familiar with. Sakai Ziegler, point guard at Tennessee. I actually like
Dolph's brother.
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
I mean, maybe.
He's a bump taking machine.
Yeah, he's maybe a... He's more my complexion than Dolph's, but maybe.
Well, hey, Kane and Undertaker are brothers. Why can't you, you know?
But I like him as a basketball player. Like, he's a good little point guard. He's probably a fringe NBA guy right now because he's so short. He's like 5'9". But a floor general. I like him. I don't know what it means for his pro prospects, but I like him. And then RJ Felton, I know who he is. He's a shooting guard out of East Carolina. I know him because he's Raymond Felton's cousin.
Okay.
But that's it. And that's all I know about these people. The other guys, I had the list right here. Jalen Moore at Oklahoma, not familiar. Yeah, Ben Henshaw, not familiar. Don't know, so we'll see. But go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to say, let's put it this way. It would not be a bad start to Scott Perry's reign as the general manager in Sacramento for him to go and move into the late first round and draft a player that we're not really familiar with, and he turns out to be a really solid contributor to this team. Like, that's a really strong start considering his situation. So let's hope that's what Perry's preparing for, and that's plan one.
I think I heard this correctly. I could be wrong. I think Scott Perry was the one that drafted Emmanuel quickly to the Knicks. And he wasn't like this super prospect or anything. People looked at him as an NBA player, but he was, you know, maybe second round or something like that from what I can remember. And that's a pretty good find right there. That's a pretty good eye. So if you could find a guy like that for the Kings in the second round, or like you mentioned, Matt, maybe jumping late into the first round and find a guy that can contribute like that, that would be much needed and very welcomed here in Sacramento from Scott Perry.
Matt George, Locked On Kings, ABC 10 with us here, going over some of the draft prospects that the Kings are having in for their second round of workouts. Of course, they're only drafting in the second round, so no one's quite as excited as they might usually be. And, you know, obviously Tyrese having not just the night that he's having, Matt, but the playoffs that he's having. Indiana did a lot right after acquiring Tyrese Halliburton. And we talked extensively earlier how the Sacramento Kings did not do a lot right after acquiring DeMontis Sabonis. One thing that they had with Tyrese, though, is a centerpiece. they had something like, okay, we're going to build around here, whether it's with, you know, Neesmith, Mathurin, Toppin, of course, Pascal Siakam be the other main piece. Do you think Scott Perry is this year looking for that centerpiece, or do you think he already has it?
He might be financially forced into a centerpiece. I don't know how you can look at anybody on this roster right now, if you're Scott Perry, and say, that's the guy I feel confident building around. Like, Domas and Levine aren't it. We already know the, whether it's reservations or call what you want to call, we already know the hesitations that he has with Zach LaVine as a winning basketball player. I think everybody is not just aware of the difficulty of a player like Domantas Sabonis, who I do love his instinct of wanting to pass first and get his teammates involved. I don't think that's a bad thing at all, but it's a bad thing to build around, especially when you need to score. And everybody on the planet saw his performance in the play-in tournament because that was the only game on in the at the time. And that's just another example of Domas offensively not stepping up in a game where you needed him to. So I don't know how you can look at both LaVine or Sabonis with any kind of confidence to build around. And then if you wanted to go like the younger route and say Keegan Murray, well, as much as I love a Keegan Murray, he's not, like, he hasn't shown the offensive bag to be able to feel confident building around. You could use a season to try and give him that opportunity, but I would argue that's difficult to do when Sabonis and LaVine are still here and you're trying to still be competitive. And then Keon Ellis, as great of a story as Keon Ellis is, I think everyone's realistic in the fact that Keon might be an established NBA starter and might have the games where he'll hit 4 or 5 threes and continue to shoot over 40%+ from three-point range, hopefully next season. But that's a role player, a really high-end role player, a high-end starting contributor to a good team, not the guy that you build around. So the same way, if I'm Scott Perry, I look at this roster and say everybody is available for trade if the deal is right. I'm also looking at this roster and going, nobody on this roster is secure beyond the years of their contract. Like, I think this season is going to be an evaluation period for Perry. And if you were to put this roster up and say you can pick any of these players to start your franchise with, I think there would be hesitations from almost everybody about any or all of them. I don't think the Kings have a lot of number two guys. They don't have a number one. And I don't think there's much reason to believe that any of these guys will be or will suddenly become a number one, regardless of how good their numbers were last season or how much money they're making.
Well, one thing I'll say about that, and once again, we're talking about we're talking about championship, right? Like, there's two different conversations to have. If you want to be a playoff team, I think you can. There are some teams that made the playoffs where you look at them and say, "I don't have a guy that I want to start my franchise with." But they're good. They're good ball players. They're able to get you in a situation where you make the playoffs. Championship team, I think you definitely need one of those guys. But I think, I say that to say, like, they can have some guys that you're still trying to figure out, you know, who you want to put around them, if you want to be around them, and be successful to a certain degree next year. You know, I look at one example I have, Houston. I don't know if they got a player that you'd want to build your franchise. Like, Sengun, I don't think so. Men, maybe. But they have a good collection of guys that work together with what they're able to do. Obviously, two seed is way higher than I'm talking about. But being a top six team, I think there's enough talent on the Kings roster right now that you could add some things with it. Maybe a trade for DeMar, and you can be a good team next year.
I can't, but you can't compare the Kings to the Rockets because the Rockets' core is 24, 25, 26 years old. The Sacramento Kings accelerated their core to an average age of like 31. Like, that's the difference. Is if you're the, at least if I'm going into a season with the Rockets, I might be still be curious, can Sengun be my number one? Can Amen Thompson be my number one? But you're able to ask those questions confidently when you have a young core that you still feel like time is on your side to figure that out, especially when they're coming off the season that they just had. It's a very similar way to how we felt about De'Aaron Fox maybe two or three seasons ago. We there wasn't a guarantee that De'Aaron Fox was going to be a number one. I think we all felt like he had the possibility of doing it. Let's just see what he could be when he gets to the playoffs. Then he has the year of being clutch player of the year. Then he has one of the greatest offensively scoring wise playoff debuts in NBA history at the time. And you're like, okay, there it is, right? Granted, he's a little bit older than these guys are in Houston, but it's like, okay, this is a guy that's entering his prime. That guy's now gone. And that's not to make this about De'Aaron Fox. It's just to use Fox as an example of that was a guy that you felt had the potential to be your number one that also age-wise kind of fit that timeline. Domas is entering his 30s, right? Zach LaVine, we kind of know what he is. He's in his 30s. DeMar DeRozan, who we don't expect to be on this team, is in his mid-30s. Like, we know what DeMar DeRozan is. So that's if I'm the Sacramento Kings, I'm just looking at everything and going, I don't see, and this kind of feeds into the feelings that I have about a lack of excitement for next season or a lack of optimism, is I don't see a future. I don't see a direction. I don't see a core. I see a collection of players that you might be able to win with short term. And if that's what you want, then great. If you want to try and at best be a six seed, then great. That's not appealing from the standpoint of someone who's looking beyond this season and ticket sales in my, just to me.
Do you have a wish list, I guess? Do you have like a group of players that you, man, I'd like to see the Sacramento Kings go after this player, go after that player? Do you have you thought that far ahead? Have you tried to construct what this new version of the Sacramento Kings might look like or could look like?
There's always been players out there that are appealing to me. For example, like if the Kings need a point guard, I know the Pacers are still playing right now. Like if you want to try and make a play for like a TJ McConnell or something like that, I'm all for the Drew Holiday idea if that's what you want to do short term, although I don't know why the Boston Celtics would ever do that. Like I don't know why they would
money.
Take the, it would have
money
to be
to get off money.
They got
that's
big
all.
Time money We're, issues.
Right. So it's DeMar and what, Keon Ellis and draft compensation. Oh, I don't know. Like I don't know what that looks like. So maybe they want to go that route. And like I always talk myself around in circles and fall into the same problem of I still don't know what the clear direction of this organization is. And if the direction is to continue to win, I don't buy it. Like I don't buy it. I think Scott Perry is an incredibly bright and confident basketball mind and basketball executive. I don't buy him taking over this job and going, we are in a position to win right now. You're not. Like you're in a position to tread water. So that's, I have a hard time looking at anything this summer or having a wish list of guys that are achievable to kind of go out and get this summer. Cause I just think you're stuck, right? Like what I want is more vague. What I want is one, a reason to be excited again, or two, a piece or two, or the start of something, whether it's an identity or a core or something to build towards. I want to, when we're 30 games into the season, regardless of how the record is going, I can see the steps towards something, or I can know what they're walking towards. Right now, it just feels like they're on a path where it just looks infinitely in the distance, but the distance is blurry. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where the path leads to. This is just what you have. So the most important thing for me for the Kings to identify this summer is who they are and what they're trying to do. And Perry might not tell us outright. Doug might not tell us outright because they might still be formulating it. But anything the Kings do this summer, I feel in the grand scheme of things is probably going to be pretty inconsequential unless they pull out something that either surprises me or they go like crazy, like we talked about last week, D'Lo, and say, all right, let's go all in for Trae Young and just light the world on fire and see what happens. Like those are the routes. I feel like you're either going to go nuts, which I hope you don't, with your draft compensation, just try for one more major swing, or you're gonna just kind of tread water, not necessarily run it back, but make minor moves and get through this next year. At that point, then I can probably start building a wish list when it comes to draft prospects, and maybe when we get closer to the trade deadline, when we have a better idea of what Perry thinks about some of these players.
I think you do know the direction of this franchise. I just don't think you like it. They're going to just I think they're going to try to build on what they have.
Okay. With what?
Yeah, I that's what I mean. Like, I think this is what they're doing, and I feel like you know that. You just don't like it. Like, because I don't...
Is that a direction or is that stubbornness? That's there's no plan there.
Or is it Mariah Carey doing the best you can with what you got? You know what I mean? Like that's what you have. People, I'm not trying to shade them. Because I like both of these guys. So I don't necessarily agree. But people always talk about the Levine contract being a bad contract. In some respects, you offer also a hamper with that Sabonis contract. That's a nasty contract too,
yes.
In a lot of ways.
Yes.
So yes. You can't do nothing with those guys this summer. Or, well, I shouldn't say you can't. It'd be very difficult to do something with either one of those guys this summer. So they're there, and you got to work around that a little bit. But also with them being there, those are two good basketball players. Those are two good basketball players. You had one, a savvy player around him, maybe another good basketball player. I don't think you're as far away from being a playoff team while you kind of reset the books a little bit in the meantime. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's inconceivable. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But say, I'll ask you again, Matt, like I asked them. You had Drew Holiday, you know, a defensive-minded guard to help out on the perimeter, to help out Keegan Murray and all this other stuff. And you've got those two guys. You got Malik Monk, Keon Ellis. You got Devin Carter as well. Is that like a bottom five team in the West, in your opinion?
No. No, I mean, I think you have a better chance of accomplishing, I guess, your goal, which is avoiding the play-in and being a legitimate playoff team. But again, for what? If it's just for a year and it's just for ticket sales and it's just to say, hey, we're having another minimum two playoff games in Sacramento, okay, I'm thinking beyond that. I don't think that's not a job well done for Doug Christie. That's not a job well done for Scott Perry. I don't think either of them, I think they would look at it in the short term and go, we made the best out of the situation, I guess. But I don't think that has much to do at all with establishing yourself and giving yourself a direction beyond that. And it all, this is all fallout from past decisions. It has very little to do with Doug and Scott at this point. This is the position that whether Monty was asked to or told to or decided to do it on his way out, put this organization in, for lack of a better term. So, I mean, I don't view this Kings team going all in for a six seed when that is their ceiling. And I don't have any reason to believe they will reach their ceiling. If we're talking statistics, you're looking at putting yourself a probability. You're looking at putting yourself in the exact same position that you're in, which is mid. And now you're going into another offseason where maybe, yeah, there's only 1 year left on the Zach LaVine deal. Okay, so now maybe you can move that a little better. It's 1 year off of Domantas Sabonis' contract. Maybe you can move that a little bit better. Now you have your draft pick, but that draft pick is probably going to be 10th, 11th, 12th. And I'm still asking the same question next summer after a year of where is your centerpiece? What are you building around? Do you think you can trade Zach LaVine on an expiring deal to get that centerpiece? Do you think you can find that centerpiece with 11th or 12th overall pick? Like, the concept of tanking doesn't sound appealing to me either, but anything sounds better than the Kings just being what they are, which is mid. And I have a hard time believing that there's much that they can do this summer to help them escape that. I just think that's what they are. That's where they're at. So the idea of making it being a six seed in the playoffs, unless they somehow win a playoff series, which would be fun, I don't view that as steps in the right direction. I view that as treading water.
What would a step in the right direction be for you? Like, what could the Kings do over the course of the next May, June, July, 3 to 4 months that would be like, okay, I see what we're doing here?
I think if they were, the best thing that I could think that they could do is stay true to what Perry and Doug have laid out as kind of the core traits, like identity traits of how they want this team to be built, and make roster moves that make sense in that case. Even if I'm aware that the roster moves are probably not going to be big, probably not going to be significant. Like, we have fun with the idea of a Trae Young all-in crazy trade. That does not fit in at all with any of the identity traits that Doug Christie and Scott Perry have laid out. That is just a let's go crazy and one last swing to make this work. So that doesn't necessarily fill that as much as I would be intrigued by it. Same thing with like a Zion Williamson trade. Like, if you want to go crazy and try for one more thing, as long as you're not completely mortgaging your future, I guess go for it from an entertainment value standpoint. But if you're trying to set the foundation for a sustainable winner here in Sacramento with Perry and Doug at the center long term, because the best thing for everybody is for Perry and Doug to still be here 10 years from now. That's what we want, right? That's the goal. We want these guys to have many, many contracts and be here for a long time. We want Doug Christie to be the head coach of the Sacramento Kings until he doesn't want to do it anymore. Like, that's what we want. If you're starting the foundation for that, I think you are trying to turn DeMar DeRozan into players that are less exciting, one or two guys that fit that identity. And then when we get to training camp, we see, and we get to preseason, we see, even if there are going to be problems, there are going to be gaps, there are going to be struggles, we see elements of that identity. That doesn't mean that Zach LaVine can't still shoot 20 times a game and the Kings can't put up 40 threes and try and win basketball games. They can do that. But I want to see the team in general reflecting the traits and the identity of their coach and their front office. Because we haven't seen that really. Even when the Kings were the best offense in the league 3 years ago when they made the playoffs under Mike Brown, that wasn't really the identity of Mike Brown. That was just kind of the roster, maximizing the roster that we had. And we all know how that played out. I want to see what the Rockets built in Houston by them taking the identity of Ime Udoka and really running with it. I want to see semblance of that. That is what I'm asking for. I don't know specifically player-wise what that looks like at this point, D'Lo. That's why I'm not the GM. But that's what I'm looking for. That would give me, okay, I see something here. I feel something here. Because like I told you last week, the thing I have the most confidence in this organization right now is Scott Perry and Doug Christie. They're the only thing that I'm looking at with longevity. So make that be the identity.
Okay, quick follow-up. Do you think the identity of a team fits the coach or fits the players?
I think it's a balance, but I think the Sacramento Kings have done a horrible job of finding and striking that balance over the last couple of seasons. Like, if we were to have a retrospective conversation about Mike Brown and he tried to not mold, but force a roster into an identity that wasn't theirs and had negative ramifications. I think that is a very fair and honest conversation. And I remember during training camp of year two after the playoffs, asking similar questions to Mike and having those hesitations with Mike and saying, hey, Mike, like, how much offense are you willing to sacrifice for this? And Mike gave me a very straight up answer. He said, I believe the offense was so good that if we drop off a little bit but improve significantly defensively, it'll work out.
I remember
that. You improved a little bit, especially at the end of the season. You improved kind of a lot of it at the end of the season, but your offensive identity dropped off so hard that you didn't like that identity was gone. So it's going to be, of course, on Doug and Mike Woodson and Bobby Jackson to try and maximize the roster that they have. But that doesn't mean that Scott Perry just throws a roster out there to Doug Christie after laying out his seven identity traits and telling us verbatim, this team needs more of this. This team needs more of this. If he doesn't do any of that and then tells Doug to do your best with this, then the Kings are working against themselves. So Perry clearly feels or says what the Kings need. Doug Christie, we know, has a history or a reputation of the type of player that the Kings need more of. So go out and get those players for him. Like, I don't want to have any semblance of doubt the way that I have with Mike Brown. I would have much preferred the Kings go out and get Mike Brown a bunch of guys that Mike wanted, and then Mike failed, because then we would clearly go, okay, Mike, you were wrong. The fact that we can still have a conversation months, year, whatever later and say, did Mike get the players that he wanted? Or did the Kings do a good enough job getting Mike those guys? I want that doubt gone. You know Doug Christie, you know Scott Perry, they laid out the identity that they want. You don't have to completely change the roster overnight or in one summer, but go out and turn DeRozan into a couple of those guys that fit that, and let's see how they do. That's the step one. That's a building block.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Okay. They talked about it earlier, man, just making sure Scott Perry and Doug Christie in this aspect are on the same page. Mm-hmm. The previous regime, it didn't seem like that was the case. You know, I'm not even saying who's right or wrong, but they just did not see building this roster the same way. You want to get your coach and your general manager in cohesion with how you want to build this roster. And I think that would be a great first step compared to what happened the last time.
Yeah, I just think the cohesion is important. And again, I'm not looking for your starting five to be five guys that perfectly fit Doug. Like, Zach LaVine's going to be here. I don't think Zach LaVine perfectly fits Doug or Perry. But if you could have a couple of guys that do, to add to Keegan and Keon, who I think fit very, very well, but then you can have Zach LaVine be in the 20 to 25 point per game score. Okay, you've got something there. Like that, I'm okay with that. But building your team, going back to one of the questions you asked about Sabonis or LaVine being the core of your franchise, I guess the best way to answer that question is I look at those two players and I line them up with the traits that Perry and Doug have laid out, and I don't know if they fit enough of them for me to think that is the guy that they can confidently look at as the core of their new look Sacramento Kings. That's just where I feel this team is at.
Do you think Keegan Pete can be better than the version that we've seen over the first 3 years of his career?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just don't know if he's ever going to realize it, if he's ever going to take the opportunity to realize it. And like, it's not,
Well, hold on. Can you expand on that a little bit? Do you think he's holding himself back a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, how many times have we seen Keegan Murray have a big first quarter and then not shoot the ball for the rest of the game? Like, that happens too many times for it to just be the Kings' fault. Like, Keegan, demand the basketball. Speak up. And we've heard even players, coaches, Mike Brown even, like, kind of messing with him, but also not, like, trying to get him to open up a little bit, talk a little bit more, right? Like, I think Keegan, now you're going into year four, like, this, the shy rookie stuff, he doesn't have to change his personality. We know who Keegan is as a personality. He's not all of a sudden going to become loud and boisterous. But Keegan Murray should not be shy with his teammates on the basketball floor anymore. Like, I'm cooking, give me the ball. Or run some plays for me. Or let's get me involved here. Or get me my shots. Or I'm going to have the confidence to try something. Like, you're in year four. Go for it. So, yes, I do think there's an element of Keegan Murray. Like, it's not DeMar DeRozan's fault because DeMar came in and took shots away from Keegan. That's not why Keegan took a step back. Now, there's only one basketball and only so many shots to go around. So it is accurate to say, I think, that if DeMar DeRozan weren't on the roster last season, that Keegan Murray probably would have shot the ball more. Doesn't mean that Keegan would have been better or the Kings would have been better. In fact, they probably would have been worse, which in this case might have been a better thing for them to be worse because they potentially would have saved the draft pick. I don't know. However you want to spin it, however you want to look at it. But I do think the Sacramento Kings have yet to fully, because they drafted a player and added him, a rookie, and added him pretty much right away to a starting lineup that had playoff and win now expectations. I don't think the Sacramento Kings have fully committed to, let's give Keegan the ball for an extended period of time and let him go and let him try some stuff. I don't think the Kings have ever gotten there. So I think there's a balance to be struck. Whether it's Doug Christie or Mike Woodson, who's an offensive genius, like, are these guys that can empower Keegan to go and look for his shot a little bit more? And then can Keegan actually take that empowerment onto the court and then turn to LaVine or turn to Domas or whoever's running point guard and say, I'm feeling it. I got a mismatch. Let me take this shot. Like, that's what's next for Keegan. And I want to see that this season. It doesn't mean I believe he's going to turn into the all-star that the Kings thought he was when they drafted him. I think that ship has probably sailed. But can Keegan be better than 12, 13 points a game? Hell yeah, he can. And he can sure as heck shoot better than 33, 34% from three.
Yeah. How old are you turning tomorrow, Matt?
31. Ugh.
I forget sometimes Matt's a child. Matt's a child too. You're working all day tomorrow. You're not doing anything fun to celebrate at all? No Bottle Rock in Napa, no nothing, no Kendrick Lamar in LA.
Nothing like that. I don't have KC and D'Lo money, and I'm certainly KC. Not chilling and partying. I'm not partying with Kamara in New York either, so
None of us are partying with Kamara in New York.
So it's gonna be low key. It's gonna be low key and I'll work and then go home and spend time with family and hope that one day, someday, I'll be able to cover a Sacramento Kings game on my birthday. That's the dream. The Kings are playing basketball on May 23rd. Man, that is the dream.
Man.
Goodness gracious. Boy. It's asking a lot.
That's gonna be 47.
That early? That soon?
Well,
before 50 would be great.
I was trying to be positive. I'm going to take you to Q for your birthday. I'm going to take you and Brittany to Q for your birthday. Not tomorrow, but I got to get through this Vegas trip first, and then we're going to go.
Isn't that the restaurant that Kenny, this guy owns?
Yeah, that's the one that Kenny owns. That's if you believe the streets, it's the one Kenny owns.
I can't, hey, Casey, that. At least he didn't insult you to your face like someone insulted me when they thought I was Deuce. So, at least they were excited to see you.
Yeah, that was a classic. Yeah.
Hey, Deuce, classic. I used to listen to Matt's podcast, but it sucks now. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Great stuff as always, Matt. We appreciate you, my friend. Happy birthday. We're going to head over to 102.5 if you want to join us there. We got lots to do. We got Wiz Khalifa tickets to give away as well as Keisha Cole. If not, we'll see you tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. Exhibit gonna be in studio with us tomorrow on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Alex Rodriguez.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.